The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Acuma, its board of directors, its management staff, or its members. The podcast discussion presented is conversational in nature and for general information only.
Hello and welcome to Acuma's On Point Podcast, a series focused on sharing the stories of people who are making a positive impact in the credit union mortgage industry. I'm your host, Peter Benjamin. Today, my guest is Wendy Dawson, Vice President of Mortgage Lending with Coastal Federal Credit Union. Wendy, how are you doing today?
You know, this is a really good day, Peter. Okay? We're in the midst of a lot of changes, not only into the environment as far as the construction, rehabbing our building, but we're also in the transition to a new LOS platform. Love so it. We're very excited about that.
We'll call that a little change.
Yes.
I guess if now's the time to do it, right?
Now is the time to do it, right?
And we're going to come back to that topic, you know, sure. Is it the right time to do things? But before we do that, let's pause because I'm excited for this episode. You know, I'm a big fan of yours, but we have to bring in Krista to give us a little update on everything that happens over at Acuma. Krista, how are you doing?
Hey, Peter. Well, I actually just got off of about 5-day nap. just concluded our annual conference. It was amazing, fascinating, fantastic, amazing again. So yeah, I'm tired, but I'm great.
I'm exhausted, but you know me. I'm already back on the road.
Yes.
And here we are pushing through, doing another podcast because we love this and this is important to us. And, you know, we know that there are people out there doing great work. So we're back recording and trust me, I'm exhausted, but annual was awesome. Truly was. And it was, when it's all said and done, it was the second largest event we've ever had. And the people in that room were amazing. The speakers, the content, the discussions, the networking, you name it, it was awesome. But I'm exhausted.
Totally. Well, and our exhibitors and our sponsors too, we need to definitely, you know, mention them. They're huge support for Acuma, huge support for our credit unions. So, you know, overall agree, just an amazing event. I mean, we thought Vegas last year was crazy. DC this year was crazy in a good way, right? Like truly amazing in every aspects of it. So, but now we're already planning for 2024. So we will not be sitting and resting at all.
We've already started all of our legwork. We jump from one to another. And I will say, although, and I'm glad you brought up, you know, the future, you know, it is bittersweet because this is the last time we'll be in DC. And, you know, for me, hometown, you know, it was the first, you know, conference I really didn't have to hop on a plane for, which was nice.
Yes.
And for me, you know, we talk about this all the time, man. I'm very sentimental about DC. So, you know, bittersweet, great event, but there are other great cities out there that we'll find and we'll keep moving on. Anyways, thank you.
We absolutely will. And just everyone keep an eye on our website, our social, our connected community. Speaking of amazing cities, next year we'll be in Nashville and Denver for our workshops.
Yep.
We'll be back in Las Vegas at the Bellagio for annual. And then our two summit meetings, they were new this year, but we will be continuing those in 2024. Likely March and April, but just stay tuned to all of our updates for locations on those two summit meetings. Those are credit union only. So great meetings. And Wendy, you came to the one we had in Arlington. So
extremely. A lot of value add in that one. A lot of collaboration, great takeaways. And I'm looking forward to the 2024 summit. I am.
Awesome.
You heard it from the source.
There
absolutely.
You go. We are experts giving us, you know, the thumbs up on that one. So that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Anyways, Krista, thank you very much for the update. Don't go too far. Obviously, stay with us, you know, contribute.
Will do.
Of course, you know, my favorite session of the podcast is at the end. And woo, here we go. It's going to be a good one. Anyways, uh-oh. Wendy, let's turn back to you because this is a conversation that I feel like you and I have had discussions on. A couple months back, you know, we were in Milwaukee for another credit union event, and it was a conversation built around, you know, the current market, the current state of things, and you know, what do we need to do to move things forward? And so, you know, out of that conversation, you know, you really view this as a glass half full mentality, right? You kind of say, hey, in this market and in our industry nowadays, there's a lot of opportunity for us. You know, this environment, our current state, now is the time for us to seize the day, basically, right? So let's dive into that, right? Let's really expand on that idea, because I love how passionate you are about it. And I've heard you talk about this. And you and I, again, a couple of months back, we sat on that panel in Milwaukee and we talked about this, and you threw out a lot of great ideas. So let's really focus on that. But let's start with, and I'm going to have us go down a line of things, of opportunities and current state and things that you feel as though really can help set us apart for when it's, we'll say, it's smoother sailing, better times, or whatever you want to call it. So
yes.
I know you're passionate about first time home buyers, right? So right. Let's focus on that, right?
Okay, sure. We can do that. And I do think this is a great opportunity in the current environment. And it's kind of like I've given the analogy, this is the perfect storm in a good way, simply because it creates the opportunities here. We just need to grab it and maximize the return on it, because we can take a look back, do a level set, possibly a course correct, see what kind of products and services that you have in your menu. But the primary focus, especially with what has transitioned in the last 18 months with the rates and home values escalating, we have at Coastal, we've created this task force, and we're really concerned about first-time homebuyer. You know, we see that age of the first-time homebuyer escalating at a pace that it gives us real concern and pause. So we're trying to do some brainstorming, and we've done that with a task force, an initiative to where what kind of impact can we have? You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, we are in some change mode ourselves. We're doing some renovations at our corporate headquarters, and we're actually transitioning to a new LOS. But this has been, 23 has given us that opportunity with a lower volume to do that, to transition, level set, course correct, and tee up for a really strong 2024. I really look at the thing about the first-time homebuyer for me, Peter, is we really do believe, and I am passionate about this, that is the bridge to gap as far as the wealth gap for many in the United States, and that is homeownership. I believe it is the primary, okay, path to wealth, and we just need to find a way, and I think we have tapped into some processes and products and initiatives that we might be able to, you know, create a bridge to that gap. And some of those are within, I think, a lot of credit unions that are, you know, willing to do, you know, put the time in. It's a lot of resource and research and getting approved with different agencies, municipalities, your city programs, your county, your bond, city seconds. And that's what we did, you know, in the very beginning in January 23. We just said, you know what? We need to get on the radar. We started a program with a land trust. And that was my actual DE project many years ago. I'm a DE. And so the land trust was our kind of our outreach to that, you know, affordable housing. And now we have this path of you've got affordability issues, and then you have affordable housing. Two different things. So we wanted to try and take a shot at creating initiatives toward the affordability piece. What can we do with the rates escalating and the prices escalating? How can we mitigate the pain for especially those first-time homebuyers? So we went out and we partnered with a lot of I'm from the Raleigh-Durham area in North Carolina, and we partnered with North Carolina Housing with down payment assistance programs, giving, you know, $15,000 DPA, 3% sales prices, and bundling that possibly with an MCC, a tax credit. But also what I call bundling is going out there with your different agencies in your state, but your county and your city seconds, where they have down payment assistance too. We just closed a loan last week that we were able to bundle and give $120,000, okay, as a down payment assistance, using layered initiatives from the county, from the city, to the housing programs. Now, these are restricted. And they are definitely modest means, but that's what the mission, vision, and value of a credit union, okay, is to focus primarily. That's why we were created, was the modest means member. So this is where we've done a lot of our work this year, creating that task force and really looking at how can we drive the growth for members. And I call it the wallet share. There's a lot of, you know, different levels of or strategies out there to say, how can you drive member growth within the credit union? Everybody primarily wants to drive new member growth. We did it a little differently. We kind of looked inward and said, okay, let's do some comparison. And we called it propensity modeling. Of our member base, how many are really vested with us, you know, and how many have just that $5 share account? Well, we found that we didn't have a high percentage of our mortgage members. They had mortgages elsewhere. So we said, okay, how do we deepen that wallet share? So the propensity modeling gave us that data. And we are very, you know, we're extremely versed in that data analytics and data mining. So
if I can just jump in real quick, and I appreciate you doing this because, you know, you've thrown out a lot, and I appreciate your passion about this. And I have a lot of questions. You know, you know, you and I have talked a lot about HFA programs, right?
Right.
And you know, you and I both have that experience of HFA, and we see the value of we see the value in credit unions signing up with their local HFA programs and expanding their footprint, utilizing HFA programs and really helping usher that first time home buyer into those programs with trained loan officers and really putting them in a better place. We've talked about that, and I agree. And I want to come back to that. But you know, it's interesting that you started looking at, you know, that inward opportunities because I mean, the average credit union only has about 2.5 to 3% of their membership with mortgages with them.
Yeah.
And again, 2.5 to 3%. That is a very small percentage. When you think about, you know, even just the law of averages, one out of every 10 qualified person will do business with you. That's below that, right? So I like that you start with that because that is one of the weaknesses that I kind of see that we're not doing or tapping into, because there's a lot of members out there. And doesn't matter if you're, you know, Coastal, doesn't matter if you're ABC Credit Union or XYZ Credit Union. That focusing on your current members needs to be that priority.
Yes.
Right. It just has to be. We can build business all we want, right? But it's the common argument or the common conversation that we have of, if the rest of your members don't know you have a mortgage or even know that you care about their mortgage, they're never going to do business with you, right? Or am I off base?
No, you're absolutely. No, it's awareness. And it's where I think we as a credit union, we need to get better about telling our story. We have a great story. And why are we here? You know, we get on that platform of mission, vision, and values, but we really need to understand, what is your mission? What are your values? And what's your vision? Okay. And what's the strategy behind making that happen? So know your story, know your members. And we do a lot of deep diving as far as what we call data mining into our members. We jokingly said, because of the area we come from, and we were the old IBM credit union. So we have relatively a very large percentage of an affluent member base. We always jokingly said, okay, you know who our member looks like? Ozzy Osbourne and King Charles. It's a cross over there because they're older. But then we didn't know, you don't know what you don't know. And when we did some of this propensity modeling to try and determine, what was our wallet share percentage? And we feel like you've got a member that is really vested. They've got 3+ products with you. You are their preferred financial provider. So that was our vision. We said, how do we make it happen? And Peter, we both know that it's much easier and more cost efficient to basically deepen the wallet share of an existing member than going out to try to get a new member.
Right.
It is.
And that was an argument I would always have with, we'll say, my time in the credit union space was, we don't need their checking account and savings account first. We need their mortgage first.
Yes.
Those other things will follow.
They will.
Right. You know, yes. And it's funny that you say a lot of these things, because I feel like it's the same exact conversations I would have you know, pretty much in your seat at my last credit union, you know, we need to focus on our current members, getting them to be aware of a mortgage, and they will become more vested in us if they have that mortgage with us. And that was the same exact thing I just kept saying over and over and over. The mortgage will lead to relationship.
Yes, it does.
It always does. But it's interesting. Like we going back to the conversation of, you know, awareness and making sure that they are aware that we offer mortgages as a credit union. And it doesn't have to be marketing. I mean, half of it can just be outreach, right? Just general outreach, right? Because I mean, we're smart enough to know, especially if we have, you know, if we data mine our members, we know who has mortgages, right? We know who has mortgages. We know who, you know, based off the direct deposit, who probably can afford a mortgage in any given environment. Yes. We can use this information and just do outreach, right? You know, but as you were going through all this, it reminded me of a story of like, and I can't tell you how many times this happened at my last credit union, where I'd get a phone call and it was just a random member, random first time home buyer member. And they're like, well, you know, my grandmother has been a long time member with you, and I'm not really a member. I have an account, but it's kind of dormant. But they say I should get a mortgage with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, absolutely you should. And I would just go down that journey with them. And I kind of took a step back and I said to my loan officers, I was like, you know, why is it, you know, Joe's grandmother's our best, my best salesperson out there promoting us? We should be out there making that outreach, really promoting how beneficial the credit union is to them and the stability that we can provide them as a first-time home buyer, and really navigating through that process. Because when you're a first-time home buyer, that relationship means the world to you.
It does.
And that extra guidance that you can provide, this is the largest transaction that they'll ever make. It's also, we will often forget about this whenever we talk about this. It's also the most stressful process they'll ever go through.
Oh God, it is. You know, it was interesting. There was an article written just a couple months ago that they, and this was terrible, this really resonated, that they compared getting a mortgage to being fired from your job, your first job. And I thought, oh my God, how terrible is that? That's the most horrific thing. And it is so, I think the outreach part, and this is what really, we were going through this data mining and the propensity modeling. And what really kicked this off, for this initiative to, you know, these joint collaborations with the municipalities and agencies to bundle these down payment assistance to try and bridge this gap, was when we did a subset, thinking the majority of our membership is rather affluent and they're in that baby boomer stage. Well, they're not in the mortgage, okay, wanting a mortgage. They're cash flush right now. So when we did this propensity modeling, you don't know what you don't know. And we found out that we had like 76,000 members that actually qualify for modest means. They make less than $100,000 in our footprint. And with our AMI, with the 60% and 80% caps, we could actually, they would benefit. And 25 to 30% of those members were very interested in actually wanting a mortgage and a home. So it was like we had our own little database of targeted marketing right there and their existing members. So that's where our initiative started. We're saying we need to build on this. So we will drive member growth as far as a deeper membership, a higher percentage of accounts, but a deeper wallet share with an existing member base. And that existing member base happens to want to be homeowners. And we're going to help them, you know, create a path. And we have special loan officers that are dedicated to the first-time homebuyer because they go through education, you know, as far as frameworks.
Now, is it only HFA programs or other, even your portfolio programs?
Even our portfolio programs. We require them to go through a home ownership counseling class. We think it's beneficial because it's one thing, Peter, for us to get them in the house, but we have a responsibility to help them stay there. Okay. We want to keep them there. So they need to understand some of the pitfalls, the financial restrictions, the deferred maintenance that comes with owning a home. What does that look like? What does that feel like? And we want them to have a pretty good understanding of what true home ownership and responsibility is. So once they get through all that, they're ready. We're ready to take them to the next step.
Okay.
But that's
we talked a lot about, you know, first time home buyers and what you guys have done to kind of, you saw this as an opportunity to say, hey, let's double down.
Yep.
Let's look at our membership. Let's really push hard on first-time home buyers, support our current membership, the ones of modest means. There are programs out there that we could be doing and should be doing. Let's do that. So let's take a step back. And I want you to put yourself in a different shoe. You were fortunate enough, or put yourself in a different seat. You were fortunate enough to be at Coastal where they agree to double down, right? But in this market, we're not seeing that with a lot of credit unions. A lot of credit unions are actually doing the opposite. They're pulling back, right?
I see that.
I mean, sure, you know, Dan Sugg. Dan's a friend of Acumen. He has said this multiple times, and he's very much like-minded with you. And I want to hear your advice for the credit union that's struggling with this. You know, for him, it was you have to make sure that this doesn't get forgotten, that mortgage doesn't get forgotten in your credits. As the head of your mortgage division, that's your job, right? That's really much the cross you bear. So Wendy, from your perspective, in the credit unions that are pulling back, and the mortgage executives that are struggling to fight for, we'll say, attention, what would the advice be for them?
Well, that is extremely challenging. Okay, it is, especially with the liquidity issues. I call it liquidity sensitivity. Okay, and especially for those that do not have the availability, or they don't have products they can put on their portfolio, or they did, but they're limited, especially with the liquidity sensitivity. But what I would do there is a path. There are different QSOs out there, okay, that will walk you through with mortgage. But you can also go on, you can engage with your local municipalities, your agencies, your state. Put your teams through the training. It is very robust. It's basically it's a lift, when especially with the size team we have. A lot of these agencies want end-to-end, basically certification, from the loan officers taking the application to the underwriters. Yep. Okay. But it's worth the effort. And if you're a smaller institution, then you're going to have a smaller force. But put them through that, because you're using their money, especially the state. Most states have a housing finance agency, and they have their own money. And so it's not like you're using your money. Now, it is servicing released, but that's probably with a smaller institution. They're not going to retain a lot of servicing anyway.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because it creates a path to keep the lights on. Okay. And at least, that intention, as far as top of mind, you've got an infrastructure built. All right. Yep. And credit unions are not ones to what I call RIF people, reduction in force. We're just not. You've got your IMBs out there doing this all day long. A lot of your banks, they are doing it. They're riffing people. But credit unions as a whole don't typically do that. But there is a strategy here. You can do this. You can build this framework out, and you can keep the workflow going until we get to a different day. And we hope that is 2024. Where we see some of these rates start to drop, and we might have ourselves a little mini refi market in the first quarter or second of 2024.
There's been a good number of economists that I listen to that say there's a high likelihood of that. Now, there's also a lot saying it's going to be a mini recession. So no one can get this right. But so coming back to what you said, and if I'm going to summarize what I think you said, and it's, to summarize, you're really just saying you don't have to portfolio everything.
No, you don't.
There are products out there that can help you fulfill your mission and serve your members.
Yes.
That's the most important thing, right? Now, you keep pushing like HFA programs. HFA programs is also something I'm very passionate about. I could rattle off the list of HFA programs and who allows you to service and who doesn't. And I will say the vast majority of them have their own subservicers. So by originating these programs, you can tap into that underserved market while originating a loan for your members while not impacting your liquidity whatsoever, right?
Exactly.
And using Virginia as an example, the VHDA program, they do their own servicing, right? So you're not even... that subservicer is not even a competitor. It's everything is internal, right? Then if you look at Maryland or DC as easy examples, their subservicer is US Bank. That's who it is.
Right.
But again, that's, you still have that opportunity. You still have that you still have that member. They're so grateful for that process, and odds are they'll come back to you, right?
I think so.
Come back to you.
You've got a lot of agencies in the HF as far as the housing, the HFA, depending on the state, like North Carolina and South Carolina. We go through Alabama Housing Finance Agency. They do use a subservicer, but it is not someone that's going to try and basically capture your member business. You know, they are not going to poach any of your member business. That seems to be a lot of concern when people are releasing the servicing. They don't want them coming after their member. So just be mindful on who you're doing, who your partnership is with. But the truth is, at the end of the day, especially, you know, with a large bank like U.S. Bank, I mean, if they're vested with your credit union, you found a path to be able to give them a mortgage, okay, into their home ownership dreams, they're going to stay with you. So there's a higher propensity that you're not going to lose that relationship.
Agreed. And there's tons of technology.
Yes.
That makes that relationship, that ongoing relationship, a lot easier. If not, I mean, I've seen plenty of credit unions just using a spreadsheet or calendar reminders that say, "Hey,
yes, this,
you know, the Joneses have had their mortgage for a year. Let me do my annual check-in with them." Right?
True. It's pipeline management.
Right. That's all you gotta do. That's all you gotta do, exactly. And that helps you build that relationship. It's quite easy.
No, it's true. And even with the smaller credit unions that don't have the, you know, the depth of resources for CRM, okay, they can do their own. They can. You can do pipeline management. It's more manual, but it can certainly be done. We've done it.
Love it. I love it. So it seems like the advice to those credit unions that are struggling with it seems to be get comfortable with the idea that you need to sell loans in the secondary market or look to other resources for that liquidity.
And I think you have other credit unions out there, especially within the CUSOs, that will help you. Okay. It's very different in the credit union world. 100%. We will. I think you just stay connected. You be engaged, you know, get involved with, and listen to the resources around you, you know, actively. And that's basically what kind of kicked it off for us. When we saw the light bulb moment was, God, we've got 76,000 members that would qualify for some GPA money. What are we doing? Okay.
It's a lot. It really is.
It is. It's got, and then you drill that down, it's almost, 30% of those people want to buy a home. So we're like, we're going for it. This is targeted marketing.
Okay. And so the opportunity in the current state is really double down on your first time home buyer lending. That's what we're doing right now. I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at our current environment, look at the year, I mean, you're going to see approximately, non-bank mortgage lenders. And it's sad. And I'm not trying to highlight this as a positive, but, a third of them are going to shutter their doors, right?
Yes.
The competition is shrinking. But I will say what makes it tough when you look at, mortgage lenders, non-bank mortgage lenders shutting their doors, the tough part of that situation. And the truth is, they originate primarily the bulk of the first-time home buyer loans. So we have to step up, right?
And we have the opportunity right in front of us.
Absolutely. To do that. 100%.
To fill that as far as make that, kind of minimize as far as and bridge the gap. So we can do that. And I think we're on the path to do that. And I think it's going to tee us up for a much stronger workforce. But I think out there especially in those, agency worlds, as far as your housing municipalities and so forth, the current day and current culture right now, it's all about affordable housing, okay? Affordability and affordable housing. And if you talk that language, they want to listen and they want to hear you and they want to work with you. They want to make it happen. They love it that you're engaged and you want to help them because we're all saying the same thing. You're basically singing their song.
Agreed. All right. So real quick, let's pivot. But before we actually pivot to the second segment of our little podcast, two questions. One is almost a wrap up to our conversation. Any final thoughts, any final words on, the opportunities that the current environment gives us?
I just, I think that, we all want to help families and individuals achieve that, what they call the American dream of homeownership. Mm-hmm. And, we're in a great position to make that happen. And the reward It's, you know, it's amazing. So I think that it does fall to us as the credit union, and it aligns with our strategic goals, most of us, but I think it aligns with our mission and our vision, you know, and the values and why we do what we do. And we do it better. We do it better, Peter.
Hands down. Absolutely love it. Okay. Last question before we pivot, what drives you? So, you know, it's a question, you know, this podcast was always intended to be, you know, a people piece. Like let's actually get the people, get to know the people who are doing the great work in our industry. But part of that is really understanding what drives you, what motivates you, what helps you put one foot out of bed every single morning and just do it all over again, you know, and really help put families in homes day in, day out, and really make a difference. What drives you?
I think it's the feedback that I get, not only from my team, but our members. And I've said this probably in the last 5 to 7 years. You know, when you start out in this career, you know, I was asked repeatedly, did you pick mortgage? I said, nobody picks mortgage. Okay. I think it picks you. I was at a savings and loan, and that really dates me, when I came right out of graduate from college. And I, you know, in the beginning, you don't feel important in your career. And in the middle, you feel like you're important. And then I'm at the third stage of my career, and all I want to do is important work. So this really does. I've been with a credit union for now 15 years, and it resonates with my own personal growth. And this is where I want to be as far as in my stage of life, is doing important work. And so I'm blessed to be with a credit union that allows me to do that. And they listen. So that's nice.
I love it. I love it so much. All right. So it's that time.
Oh, God.
No. This is the best part of, not the best part. I'm supposed to say it's the second best part, but it's my favorite part of the podcast, where we pivot to, you know, the session where we go, you know, trivia. Sometimes we do fun facts. Every once in a while, my team lets me do dad jokes. But today, we are fortunate enough to do Jeopardy. Now, give me a second. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with you and Krista. Now, here we are, middle of October. So what we're going to do is a little Halloween Jeopardy. I love Halloween. It's one of my favorite holidays. And it's not just because of the candy. It's just, I love horror movies. And so I love the fall, pumpkin spice lattes, all that good stuff, wearing flannels and vests, love all that stuff, you know? So I love Halloween, So we're going to do a little Halloween trivia. So again, here we are, middle of October. Now, let me go and explain this to everyone, because I know this is a podcast and no one can see it. On my screen, and Wendy and Krista can see it, it's just a standard issue Jeopardy board. I have 5 categories. I have food, history, creatures, and then just random trivia 1, and then random trivia 2. Now, again, the scoring goes 100 to 500. You know, for the sake of this game, Wendy, you will be team 1, and Krista, you'll be team 2. And that's it. Okay. Makes sense. So what we'll do, as our honored guest, Wendy, you get to go first. You get to pick which category and which question you want, what dollar amount you want, or I guess point value, because it's not really a dollar amount. Now, just to make things easy, you do not have to say what is, who is, all that stuff. Okay.
Thank goodness.
No, Alex.
Yeah, seriously, that's listen, we're just coming off annual. You know, I don't think Krista has the brain cells to add who is, what is at this moment in time. So
no, all you have to do is
just, that's right. Yeah. No, if you notice, she was very quiet. It's very rare Krista's quiet, but she was quiet on this podcast.
I will say, regarding Jeopardy, though, my oldest son was born on Halloween, so I might have a couple answers to
Great, Krista. Now you talk.
All right. So, Wendy, as our honored guest.
Yeah.
You get to go first.
Okay, let's do history for, do I get to start at like 400?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, I'll start at 500.
All right, history for 500, and I'll read the question. The Romans called Halloween Pomona Day. She was the goddess of?
Oh, God. That was me. I don't know.
Give us a guess.
Saint? Goddess of saints?
Goddess of saints.
you know, it's an All Saints Day. I'm thinking, okay.
Sure. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and show the answer. The answer is, yeah. Actually, Krista, do you want to steal?
Mona Day. She was the goddess of, no, I don't want to steal. Okay. No idea.
No, I don't want to steal. All right. So the Romans called Halloween Pomona Day. She was the goddess of fruit.
Oh, I almost gardens. Said pomegranates.
God, fruit or gardens.
That would have been a very good guess.
Yeah.
Very good guess. All right. So, Wendy, I'm sorry. I have to do this. It is Jeopardy. I have to subtract. Right.
I'm in the negative 500. Hey, negative.
Sorry, okay. I have to do it. I don't make up the rules, Wendy. I don't make up the rules. Don't worry. You're still not doing nearly as bad as Justin. He still holds the record. All right. So, Krista, Justin was so bad. Oh, anyways, I come back. Krista, you're up.
Okay. Let's do food for 500, please, Peter.
Woo. Food for 500.
We might as well start big, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What was the first wrapped penny candy in America?
I don't Tootsie
even know.
Tootsie Roll.
A Tootsie Roll. What? I don't even know what a penny candy is, but Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Roll.
Yes, what is a Tootsie good. Roll? Good answer. Good answer. Oh my God.
Darn, that is good. I love Tootsie Rolls.
I've never heard of the phrase penny candy.
Oh, okay.
That's because you're too young.
Yes, I think so, Peter. A penny candy was big.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Penny candy was big. But Tootsie Roll, excellent. Was it chocolate or was it like one of the fruit flavors?
No, they didn't have fruit flavors back in those days. It was just the chocolate.
Just the chocolate. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Wendy, you're back up. You do not have to go 500, but you still can.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll go food for 400.
food for 400. In what country do kids enjoy eating chocolate skulls?
God, I don't know. I mean, any country, don't they just? All kids love chocolate and their chocolate skulls?
Any chocolate skulls?
Okay. I don't know. What's it called? Transylvania? I'm just kidding.
Pennsylvania.
You know, the U.S. They love. I don't know. Good God, man! I am terrible at this game.
I'm sorry, but I haven't even seen the answer, but I just started subtracting points. I stopped myself from clicking on it, so I'm sorry. All right, so let's. Krista, do you want to steal?
I'm going to say Romania.
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 All right.
I have no idea why. Just saying that.
In what country do kids enjoy eating chocolate skulls? Mexico.
Oh.
Mexico.
Got it.
All right. So, sorry, Wendy.
Darn. Love. Just, that's so nice.
And because you guessed, Krista, I have to subtract also, but you're still.
No, that is not fair. I did not know that
you
was
are,
a rule.
Listen, you are beating Wendy. Up. 100 to negative 900. There you are still winning. Don't you don't have to be that competitive.
Okay, well, I'm not stealing again, but geez.
All right, Krista, you're up.
Creatures for 500. Let's just go big or go home, right, Wendy?
There you go.
Yeah, let's put the nail in the coffins, you know, use the Halloween term. All right, so creatures. 500.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know how to pronounce that word.
Me either.
I'm going to try. The lycanthrope is commonly called a
werewolf.
Yes, it is. I knew that like that.
I'm just guessing, literally guessing.
It is. You're right, Krista.
No, I'm not.
The wolfman. I will accept it. Werewolf, wolfman.
I
will accept it.
I think you get it.
I will accept it. The wolfman. Lycanthrope.
I'll take it.
All right. Learned something new today. All right. You're back up to 600. You're still winning. All right, let's do one more question each, and then we'll wrap things up.
Uh-oh.
All right, Wendy.
All right, let's see. Okay, go 400 for history.
400? History for 400. In 1962, a society was established for what well-known vampire?
Dracula?
Dracula. Count Dracula!
Yes!
There you go, Wendy. Nice job. All right, you're still negative 500. Justin still has done worse.
Poor Justin.
All right, Krista, just for giggles, why don't you go ahead and go for one more question?
Okay, I'm going to go with, let's do trivia for 500.
Trivia one, random trivia one for 500. The fear of Halloween is called?
Oh my gosh, Halloweeniophobia?
Halloweeniophobia.
I have no idea. That's another guess. Oh, what is that? That is not even a word.
That is a word. Samhainophobia. Samhainophobia. This should be one of the the Jeopardy questions. How do you pronounce this?
Samhainophobia.
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 So just for giggles, I have to know what one of these 100 questions are. Let's see. Let's do trivia two. All right, trivia two for 100. The first Jack Lantern was carved from what vegetable?
Pumpkin's not a vegetable, is it?
It has seeds. Doesn't a seed define make a fruit?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, I think you're right.
So the first jack-o'-lantern was carved from what vegetable? I don't even know. I'm gonna go turnip.
Oh, that's a good idea. Or a beet or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Let's see. Turnip!
Oh,
there you go. Oh my God.
Wendy, he totally looked that up. He totally looked
that up. I did not. I swear, I did not look that up. I did not. I pulled that one so hard. No, I did not. That was back there. That I had to brush some dust off, but I got that one.
That was a good guess.
Thank you very much.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Woo! Yeah.
All right. Well, technically, I tied Krista.
That's true.
Technically, I tied Krista. All right. Well, that ends this episode's Halloween Jeopardy. Wendy, thank you very much for playing. But more seriously, Wendy.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us on today's episode. We really appreciate your time and your insight into today's topic and everything you do for the credit union movement. We're truly, really appreciative of you.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to just kind of get a message out there and maybe just give some, insight into, the path maybe for others.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you very much. And Krista, thank you very much for playing along and being co-host today and joining me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And to everyone else, thank you very much for listening in on today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Be on the lookout for future ACM events. And I guess we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time at the Acuma On Point podcast. If not already, be sure to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. For more great episodes and information, be sure to visit us online at acuma.org. And to get the latest updates, head over to our LinkedIn page.